Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The last sentence of Jesus in our gospel for today can be a real stumbler. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Well, I know many Christians who pray for the Phillies to win. And I know some who pray for the Yankees to win. But when the Phillies play the Yankees, only one team will win the game. I'm not going to suggest who that might be. For millennia, Christians and even some non-Christians have asked for all sorts of things in Jesus' name and then got mad at God when what they asked for did not come to pass. Of course, when we pray for something arguably more important than sports, say when a baby is born prematurely, or other health concerns of a loved one, or for issues in our civic or political life, in those cases, we can feel more hurt when what we asked for in Jesus' name doesn't happen. I found a helpful suggestion from Professor Ben Witherington III. He says that asking in Jesus' name means asking in accord with the character and will of Jesus. And if we ask for anything that flows from the character and will of Jesus, then of course it will be done. So all we have to do is figure out the character and will of Jesus, right? Well, let's get started. In verse 7 of today's gospel, Jesus says to the disciples, "If you know me, you will know my Father also." And that little word, "if," makes all the difference. New Testament scholars note that there are two ways to interpret the word "if" in this sentence. It could mean, if you know me, and you do, that would be congratulating the disciples on truly knowing who Jesus is. Another meaning for "if you know me" would be that while the disciples know Jesus to some extent, their questions reveal the incompleteness of their knowledge. They are still learning. That's the interpretation that I prefer, that the disciples are still learning about Jesus, his character, and his will. I am still learning about Jesus too. But surely together we can figure something out about the character and will of Jesus. So let's think about the Phillies playing the Yankees. What is Jesus' stake in a baseball game? What does Jesus care about? I would say first, the safety of the players and the watchers. Okay? Jesus cares about the integrity of the game, that there is no cheating going on. And that Jesus cares also that the players and all those involved, officials too, do their best. Would you say that goes along with Jesus' character and will? the way, the truth, and the life. So we apply that question also to Jesus' stake in politics and in the health of a loved one. Think about the way of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, the life of Jesus. Look at Jesus' character. Jesus is not a manipulator, nor is Jesus a guarantor of everything good. Jesus never said, "Everything will be perfect if only you believe in me." Nope. Yesterday, it rained all day. How many people here are so glad for that because of their yards and fields? And I would like to say, you didn't get married yesterday. But Alyssa and Adam took it in good stride, a day full of rain, a day of their wedding. Let us not forget, we are only 5 weeks past the week when we noted Jesus' suffering, the week when he did indeed suffer and die. This life includes suffering and death, and it is part of the character and will of Jesus to suffer for and with others. And as we think about Jesus answering those questions about loved ones' health, don't forget that we also have the promise of Jesus to be with us always as the way, the truth, and the life. That is one reason why praying for something bad to happen to someone else is so wrong. Even when that other person acts in a way that harms others, such a prayer is not in accord with Jesus' character or will. I think of the drug gangs in Central America, intimidating farmers who won't plant coca plants or marijuana. Those drug gangs who force young boys to join them and force young girls into the sex trade. What they do is evil. It is against what Jesus stands for. But what is Jesus' will for the men of these drug gangs? I would think for them to face the pain that they cause, to face that hard truth, to repent of their pain, to face the consequences and to make different choices. Let us look also at our other readings for today. In our reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we have the story of the execution of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. He was the first to die while proclaiming the good news of what God has done through Jesus. The men surrounding Stephen were convinced he was blaspheming against God, and they took stones and threw them at him until he died. We have in our reading today the second to the last thing that Stephen uttered: "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then we hear the very last thing Stephen uttered. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Stephen's last words were a prayer for mercy. Surely that was true to the character and will of Jesus. In Peter's first letter, he writes to encourage newer believers in Jesus. He reminds them how precious, how good the Lord is. He urges them to recall how Jesus entered their darkness and brought them into Jesus' own light. We don't know the situation of those who first read this letter from Peter. But each of us has experienced enough pain to appreciate when the pain stops. Whether that pain comes from our own sin, our own wrong actions, or someone else's. In the climax of this section of the letter, Peter tells his readers, "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Peter equates being God's people with receiving mercy. And I think mercy is the key to understanding God and knowing God. Even Jonah, that most disobedient of prophets, knew that God was merciful above all else. Jonah endured in a watery, almost grave, for 3 days, trying to get away from the mercy of God. In chapter 4 of the book of Jonah, Jonah complains to God after God showed mercy to Jonah's enemies, the Ninevites. "Oh, Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish from at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing." Jonah complains to God about God's abundant mercy that God poured out even on Jonah's enemies. Jonah doesn't want God to be merciful, but Jonah knows that it is God's character to be merciful, that it is God's will to be merciful to those who don't deserve mercy, as really none of us do. Mercy is also the character and the will of Jesus, who became human to make God known to the world. Jesus said to his closest followers, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Gracious, loving, merciful, even to members of drug gangs. Merciful even to our loved ones who are not always helped by medical advances. Merciful to the little ones who will be baptized today and who have not yet committed as many sins as the rest of us. Mercy is the way of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, and the life of Jesus. And for all of us who try to follow him. Amen.